This article comes out of Kotaku and is written by Brian Ashcroft. A 28-year-old Tokyo resident has been arrested for allegedly breaking into a trading card shop atop a six-story building to steal Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards after climbing over the side of the building with a rope. Manichi reports that in the early morning hours last week, Kensuke Nakanishi anchored a rope to a railing on the roof of a building in Higashi Ikebukuro. Police say he then climbed nearly 16 and a half feet down the building without a safety wire and then broke the store's window with some sort of tool. He was caught after being captured on the security camera. Nakanishi is accused of stealing around 80 cards from Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Worth US$9,120, or nearly $1,200 Australian, and another $2,300 US, around $3,100 Australian, in cash. The suspect has confessed, saying he did it to pay off a debt. "I was in the rock climbing club in high school," Nakanishi said, "so I wasn't afraid of heights."
So clearly they activated the store's trap card when he got caught.
Look, he planned for everything but those damn cameras.
I gotta the absolute balls on this guy. This is incredible. Like, I can't help but feel he had some AirPods in just with the Mission Impossible theme playing over and over again on repeat. Dun, 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 dun. Oh my God.
How did he get caught?
Through the cameras, yeah.
So he's just... Yeah. It kind of sucks it out because, like, you know, he was badass, but now what's going to happen to him? Is he getting a fine or going to jail?
It honestly, it doesn't say in this article. Paul, do you collect either like Yu-Gi-Oh or Pokemon cards at all?
I used to both, but not anymore.
Would you have gone to these lengths to get the rarest cards you could find?
No.
I like that for a half a second he was seriously considering it.
I was trying to think, should I offend people? And it's like trying to think of the right answers. Like, and then I just went, nah, fuck it. I'll go with my first thought, which is, no, get lost.
Oh, how about you, Andrew? You think you'd give it a crack?
I mean, I could do with a spare $12,000.
It's a bit... Oh, I can't believe how much these cards are worth these days. It's bloody ridiculous.
If you get the rarest stuff that's either out of print or just stuff that's super expensive. I mean, magic cards also get pretty pricey when you get like the right ones that are like super overpowered and rare and stuff.
Yeah, far out. Like the first edition booster box go for like hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point. Thank you very much, Logan Paul. All your unboxing videos. Dear. Jacking up the prices for everybody else. I was planning on getting one of those first edition boxes when they were around 100k, but, you know, 300 is just far too much.
Oh, dear.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach and I'm here with my awesome co-host. Now, you're looking tired, but I still don't want to just assume what your name's going to be. I'll let you do it. Just go. What is it?
You're looking run down. You look like shit. So I know you're not going to have any good ideas up your sleeve, and you're absolutely right. My name is Lockie. I am the co-host of this podcast. Happy to be here, Zach.
I was going to say, Lockie's looking very handsome. He's just looking low frame rate, that's all.
I thought Lockie was just a slideshow. I thought that's who he was.
Well, that's the thing. When he's tired, he runs at about 5 frames per second. Like, he's out of RAM. He needs a break.
It's true. That probably is the best way that you could say how I function, honestly. Like, I do run out of RAM. I just can't handle too many things at once. I just shut down.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
I wish. Oh, God, I wish.
I mean, that's kind of what sleep is, right?
I feel like my life's been on standby for a long time. All right, so...
This week we are being joined by a couple of people who I want to turn me off and on again. We are joined by one half of the Inconsolables. Calgar and Paul. Sup? How are you, gentlemen?
Welcome back.
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me back. My real name's Andrew. You're allowed to use that, you realize.
It's interchangeable, I feel, isn't it?
I mean, at this point it is, yeah.
Oh, far out. I'm so excited to have you both on, especially because we're going to be talking about a fantastic game I've been so pumped to talk about. But before we get cracking with that, do you want to tell our audience where you can find the awesome content that you guys create?
Oh, Andrew's best at that. Go ahead.
I mean, I do the spiel every week anyway. So you can find us on iTunes or on Podchaser or Spotify or any of the usual podcasty places at Inconsolables. Inconsolables AU on the Twitter. That's kind of it. Drop us a review. I'm stopping by and listen to us rant about game industry bullshit. Really?
Oh, I love the show so much. I tune in every week, and I'm sure our audience by now knows that I love the show because I keep nagging you guys until you come back on and join us here all the time. And I'm so glad that you do, though. It makes me worried for you guys why you would decide to keep returning over and over again.
I know. It's like oh God. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it. Zach leads me on. Let this be Exhibit A of Zach leads me into these edgy jokes, and I'm not going to do it this time, Zach.
Well, I think it's a bit of Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, my. I mean, I listen to music reviews every week as well, and you guys make me giggle like a maniac all the time. So that's why I keep coming back.
Oh, thank you so much, Andrew. And if you want to check out all the stuff we make, you can hit us up on all these socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter's the best place to keep track of everything we are doing. Our Twitter handle is at News2Reviews, and that's with a number 2. Instead of the word two. Now we're going to do things a little bit differently.
Before
this
we move on,
yeah,
I do just want to bring up one thing. In terms of reviewing, in terms of reviewing podcasts and how important that is, I just wanted to point out that at the moment, Podchaser is doing a drive where every review you give any podcast, they're donating 25 cents to Meals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. So, like any podcast that you're even remotely interested in, go pop a review in because you're helping both the content creators and people who need food. So, like, you know, do that.
Oh yeah, bloody yeah. I believe they did it last year as well too, and it's a bloody fantastic initiative. I think also if the creator of that podcast responds to your review that you leave, that they donate a further 25 cents, and I'm here to say that 100% we are going to respond to your review, so get those reviews in for sure, and I'm sure the Inconsolables 100% will as well too.
Oh, hell yeah.
We would definitely appreciate some constructive criticism because we're always looking to improve our show.
I mean, the criticism will be get rid of that Andrew guy.
No, the constructive criticism is it. They say really nasty shit, but it's constructive because it's 5 stars.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It can be nasty,
worst
but it's got to be 5 stars.
Ever. 5 star.
Yeah, it's just the C word all the way down the page. But 5 stars.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, in Australia, the C word is a great review.
Exactly.
Yeah. What a cunt.
Alrighty, and as I was about to say, we're going to be doing things a little bit differently this week. Our wonderful friend Paul has some D&D to get to, and oh, mate, I do not want to keep anyone away from their D&D. That is for sure. But he was just wanted to come on and talk about Monster Hunter Rise so badly. We're going to kick things off with some Monster Hunter Rise impressions.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. I'm so pumped to talk about Monster Hunter Rise. I think this is definitely in my top 3 most anticipated games of this year among the Horizon sequel and the Ratchet and Clank sequel. I don't think it quite hits those levels for me of anticipation, but I have a feeling that for you two, that's probably going to be the case.
Look, for me, anticipation-wise, the only thing that beats it is Baldur's Gate 3, so... Yeah.
Oh, dang. And yeah, anyone who listened to our episode where Andrew joined us to talk about that will know what they're in for, I guess, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope they release more content soon. It's been so long.
Didn't they recently release a patch where they added the Druid?
They did, but that's not enough. I need more maps.
fair. Oh, I don't think we're getting more maps until the full release. So
fuck.
That's why I've just kind of put it aside. I'm like, once it's fully released, I'll go back to playing it. But for now, it's just a pipe dream of Anyway, we're going to talk about Monster Hunter before. Paul needs to get moving, so I don't want to like keep. I know how hard it is.
And speaking of Druid summoning monsters, let's talk about Monster Hunter. Oh.
Hey.
Now, Paul, what's your experience been with Monster Hunter Rise so far?
Yep, so I've put 50 hours into the game already.
It's been out for a week, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. We're recording this a week and one day. We're recording this on a Saturday.
Well, it does help it's on the Switch, so it's portable. Oh, yeah. I have finished the final boss for now. Until they release the title update. So, like World, it will get more monsters and stuff added to it later. So, there's always going to be more. This game... at right now has 61 monsters in it, which is 26 small monsters and 35 large monsters in it, at launch. And it will have more coming down the line, as previously mentioned. This is created by the Portable team. So different team that made World, but it is a mixture of World and the more portable games, with mechanics and gameplay wise. So it's taken some of the, quality of life changes that World made with so no loading between maps, because in the old games, you used to have to load between areas on the map. That's no longer a thing. Along with better with mining, so you used to have to take a mining pickaxe and all that type of stuff. Just along with some changes from World, you have stuff like monsters are now tracked. You have your Palamut, which allows you to run around, so you can ride the dog and jump, and there's a lot of verticality in this game. But yeah, I feel like I'm talking a lot about this. This is like really excited. I want to get Andrew in here to give him some of his thoughts because, yeah, obviously, clearly, I love this game so far. And I've had like moments of that was awesome when certain monsters do certain things.
Yeah. 100%. Well, you covered so much stuff there, and there's a lot of things I want to dive deep on, and a lot of, so much cool stuff in there. Yeah. Now. So for people who aren't familiar with Monster Hunter, basically, it's just a JRPG, I guess, where you're placed in a map and you got to hunt a big, fat, old monster. And
it's really in the title.
One of the coolest additions, as you said before, would have to be the Palamutes. It's so bloody cool. Like, Palamutes are freaking unreal. I named mine after my dog Archer, and I try to make it look like him. It looks nothing like him whatsoever.
Yeah. There was an article I saw this week, actually. A lot of people have been doing that, including a lot of people were recreating their pets that have passed on in Monster Hunter and naming them after them.
That's
so sad.
Also I can kind of see, immortalizing them in their video game form. So it's it's
sad because I'm thinking about pets that have passed away.
Yeah, fair. Bittersweet is what the word I'd use.
Yeah, bittersweet. Yeah.
I want to say the armor for the Palamutes is freaking awesome. It looks awesome on them.
So cool. Mm. Oh, I absolutely love it. I love how they can, they hold a weapon as well too. I was playing with Paul last night, and his Palamute's getting around with an umbrella, which is just ridiculous and just absolutely fantastic. And its armor's cool, those wings sort of sprouting off its back. What do you think of the Palamutes, Andrew? Like, have you enjoyed them so far?
I mean, it changes the game almost entirely for me because you can, you had the feature in World where you could ride a random monster after you've unlocked a bunch of stuff but the Palamute, you've got it right from the start. You can ride off. So when you're not actually fighting things, you can get around the map so much faster. Mm. They did the Ghost of Tsushima thing, which as far as I'm concerned, anything open world, this is a bare minimum requirement, being able to pick items off the floor without dismounting.
Yeah. I think you mean the Assassin's Creed thing. It was done in Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I haven't played enough Assassin's Creed to care. But also, Ghost of Tsushima Ghost of Tsushima is kind of like benchmark for me now as far as open world games goes. If you don't meet the stuff they do bare minimum, then like you lose points.
I said that purely for a reaction. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got your reaction. Enjoy that. But one thing I noticed actually, because I was streaming this a little bit the other night, and one of the other guys, like I was playing with viewers as well, and one of the others there's who pointed that thing out, that is if you're playing multiplayer, you're almost required to take the dog because you won't be able to keep up with the rest of the group unless you do.
Yeah. So some things I want to put in there, because that's where you get into, is like, well, the Palico is now useless now because you always want to take the Palamute. Where the Palico can come in handy is, for example, if you're going a very pure support build, because the Palicos are the only ones that can actually drop healing, trap items, and other, like, actual useful items that support the whole party. But along with, and thinking about Rampage, Rampages are on small maps. Like, Rampage is a new game mode, which is basically tower defense with Monster Hunters. That's the easiest way to explain it. So that's a very small map, so Palicos are definitely a lot better there, because you don't need to ride so much around. And then Palicos are best at gathering as well, because Palamutes do not collect stuff for you, only Palicos can.
Yeah, yeah.
So Palicos will gather stuff alongside you. So materials that you need for making weapons, potions, items, bombs, etc., Palicos are best for gathering as well.
I mean, just
so they're support gatherers.
Just to pull back a moment for those who don't know what the hell we're talking about, Palamutes are doggos, Palicos are kitties.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And if you're playing, and if you're playing single player, you can bring one of each. But when in multiplayer, you can only bring one. So
yeah. So it really depends on what you're going for. So majority of the time, since you're going in to kill a monster, yeah, Palamute's probably the best. But you do have those other reasons to bring the Palicos.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's completely useless to bring them in multiplayer, but it's one of those that's like kind of almost mandatory. Otherwise, by the time you reach the monster, the rest of your party's wailed on them enough that they've moved to the next location that you've got to start running again. It's like you're running at half speed
now,
without the dog.
I think that could be negated a little bit once you get map experience, because along the map, so some of the new mechanics in the game are wire bugs. So you can use wire bugs that you have two on yourself that recharge every time you use them. You can use them to dart around the place. So you have free aim where it will shoot you up in the air, it can shoot you down. And then you can also hang in the air, middle of the air with them and do air dodges. So you have a lot of mobility with these. And with the map, you can find greater wire bug locations to put bigger wire bugs. And these things will shoot you across the map really quickly. So that's where I think if you start getting, once you start learning the maps and you have these grey wire bugs set up, that's another way you can start traversing the map without the Palamute if you want to.
Yeah, you can just yeet yourself across the entire map if you want. But the other one as well, though, is if you bring the Palico and then go for a different monster, grab the monster, ride it into battle, do the bear cavalry thing.
So if anyone's watched my streams, you see me do that pretty much every time. I'll start the matchup. I'll grab a puppet spider. So in this game, you've got endemic life that will give you certain things. So a puppet spider, you can put it down, it'll shoot webs at the monster and entangle it so you can start riding it. And there's other creatures where you can get this healing snail. We'll put down, it'll shoot up a AoE heal. So there's like basically items you can pick up around the map, but they're little creatures. But yeah, that's what I love doing. I love going off to randoms. Like, it's really funny watching everyone go for the monster, and then you watch me go, where the fuck is this guy going? And suddenly, I'm coming on, you guys! With this giant flying dragon.
It's such a cool addition. I absolutely love it. And you have, like, different attacks that you can do whilst you're riding the monster as well, too. So you have a light attack and a strong attack. And you also have a dodge that you can use. So you use the wire bugs to actually dodge, say, another monster's going to attack you. Because another monster lands a hit on you, you basically lose time riding the monster that you're riding. If you manage to hit the other monster enough times, then you can do a mount finisher, which is super cool. It's basically like some kind of super move, I guess you could call it, that the monster has. And yeah, it's so much fun. And like, I absolutely love it. And I got to say, on the Palamutes, I got to go Palamute every time, just purely because when you run in there, you can go diving off the top of it and land some of those stun hits. And that's just endlessly satisfying to do.
I mean, so, Paul spends most of the game Yoshiing his dog off cliffs. So.
I do, yes. I need that extra jump. It's fine.
That's fucked.
I thought you were a monster, Paul. I thought you were one of those that which you hunt. But yeah, as soon as you start getting into those later maps, it is 100% necessary to just leave that Palamute behind. You got to say.
Wow. Well, I'm still at the point of the game where you both are monsters. Like, if falling off the cliff is good enough for my doggo, it's good enough for me.
So when you hunt monsters long enough, you live long enough to become the monster itself. That's sort of like,
indeed.
It's sort of like a really, yeah, it's
apparently it's around 50 hours or so. That's the amount of time.
Maybe
your final boss is a Palamute. Like, it's the ghost of the Palamute. Like, he's come back to kill you, like, to exact his revenge. All he gave you was love and dedication, and you fucking let him die just so you can get an extra jump.
Yeah. To be fair, I've been doing it from the very beginning. It didn't take me long. As soon as I realized I had a jump and I could jump off my dog, yeah, I've been doing it.
Yeah, the only time I jump off the dog is when I'm leaping at a monster and we're both on flat land. So it's not like I'm yeeting the dog off a cliff to do it. I'm yeeting myself into a monster and more often than not taking a tail to the face because I'm a moron. But
Look, in this world, there's no fall damage, so morally, we're in the clear. We're all sweet.
That's true.
Doggo's going to be fine.
So, we were talking about this a while ago, and you were worried that, like, the wire bugs would make the insect glaive kind of obsolete because of the way that mounting worked.
Yeah.
But now that the game's come out and we've played it more, like, mounting works completely differently now. Just aerial attacks won't get you that mount. You've actually got to tie it down with the wire bugs. So, does that kind of alleviate your concerns in that regard, or...? I mean, I don't know if you've played it at all, but...
Yeah, that's the problem, so I haven't played it at all.
Yeah, but with that knowledge, does that kind of help maybe alleviate the concern a little, or...?
I still don't like that people are using bugs to get around. That was kind of my thing as the insect glaive user, so, like...
I mean, that's a standard speedrun strats, man.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you know, bugs, mobility, that's what I had. That was what I brought to the table because I used the insect glaive. And now I feel like everyone has mobility and bugs. So what do I have?
Well, now you know how the Sword and Shield users felt when the Clutch Core came in, and suddenly everyone could use items while their weapons were drawn.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm interested. Yeah, I haven't tried.
Exactly. So the game was ruined when the Sword users lost their Clutch Core. I don't know what Clutch Core means.
That was the Iceborne thing where you could actually like throw a claw, attach yourself to the side of a monster, and just start stabbing.
I thought it was like Tumblr, where it was like where we're talking about like farm cottage core and stuff, like different styles.
Oh,
and this
is not quite.
clutch core. Like, oh my god, this is so clutch.
Not quite. It might be interesting. I haven't tried the glaive yet since playing Rise. It'd be interesting to see how crazy maneuverable they'd be with the bug.
I tried it.
Did you see anyone play with the glaive in multiplayer?
Yes, so I've given it a crack. So basically, the way it works in this one, so pretty much every single weapon will have its own sort of special wire bug move that they do. And basically, with the insect glaive, it does exactly what it does when you're not holding the insect glaive, which it just yeets you up in the air. But when you're in the air with the insect glaive, if you land a hit, I believe, using... Fuck, I don't know Nintendo controllers well enough. Then you can basically keep bouncing off the monster. And it's hard to do. You have to really get your aiming down pat and just keep landing stun damage on it, which stun damage is the kind of damage that eventually allows you to mount the monster.
Oh, that's a hilarious one you could do back in, like, World as well with it, where if you just land and just yeets you back up again if you land the right attack.
Mm. Yeah, it's 100%.
Yeah,
just like,
endlessly
you're like
fly.
Doing a,
that's,
yeah, you're doing like
yeah.
a triple jump.
Insect
on
Glaive, you already had that. That's what I loved about it. You were just always flying if you were able to nail your combos in the air.
Well, the wire bugs are also limited in that you've got two to begin with, and you can pick one up while you're running around per map, and then they've got a timer before they come back. So the glaive could probably stay airborne forever while those recharge, while others not so much.
All right, so my question for you guys, because it sounds like you guys have played it a little bit, what do you reckon are the S tier and A tier weapons, and what's trash tier?
Well, I spend, every time I get a new Monster Hunter game, and I think Paul's the same, I try to learn a new weapon. This time I'm learning how the Switch Axe works. So currently, for me, trash tier would be the bow, because I have no fucking idea how it worked, and I had to use it for a single hunt the other night, because when I do it on streaming, people can force me to use weapons of their choice, and I'm not good with it. That doesn't
That's
mean
fair
it's
enough.
Trash.
Lame.
That just means I'm trash with it. I haven't really had a chance to try weapons I'm good with that, weapons that I've been practicing with in the other games, I haven't really had a chance to try because people are more forcing me to do shit that they know I can't do for the lols. So
I'm going to be a little less boring, but I'll still answer the question in a way.
I'm just going to go make another drink then.
That's true, Paul. That's true, Paulie. No, like, I was just, like when I interview people, for work, I'm like, okay, they haven't answered the question at all. And so I'm just drawing a little person hanging themselves.
No.
When I'm taking down notes, that's what I was doing for Andrew just
actual,
then.
That's the actual answer I have, though. I can't answer your question.
Can I apologize? Because my brain actually did a fart. I didn't mean to say less boring. I actually meant to be... I'm going to be more boring.
Okay.
I don't know why that... That actually was... I don't know why my brain did that to me. it was hilarious, but no, I meant to say I'm going to be more boring and, like, give a more boring answer. That's what I meant. So I apologize.
We've driven Andrew away. Andrew's already left the show. He's already gone.
I said I'm making a drink. I'm just making a cocktail. I can hear you.
All
right. Yeah. So my boring answer to this is there's no real bad weapons. All the weapons are unique and fun in their own way. But yeah. I will say for me personally, I don't like the ranged weapons. Ranged weapons just never click with me. So that's the light gun, the heavy bow gun, and the bow. And that's mainly because it's also a lot of fiddling with ammo types, which I don't really enjoy doing myself. I much prefer melee range weapons and all that type of stuff. So I've played with, in Rise so far, I've played with Longsword, the Great Sword, Dual Blades, and Hunting Horn. And they've all been fun in their own unique ways. I played the Hunting Horn with Zach, and Zach ended up loving all the buffs I was constantly giving him.
Oh, yeah.
And while I'm talking about the Hunting Horn in this game got a big update to it. So it got the most changes out of all the weapons. Because how Hunting Horn sort of used to work is you'd have to build up the songs like one or two times at a time and then play them. And, you know, it took a while. Like, you had to, like, say, do two attacks, they'll build up a song, and then you'll play it. And in World, like I said, you could build up, I think, two or three songs at a time and then play them all at once, and then you can encore to make them stronger. What they've done in this one is you can still do that, but you now have a charge bar that will charge up as you play songs and hit the monster. And then... Thank you, Andrew.
For people who you know, obviously can't see this, Andrew's making a cocktail right now. That's what you're hearing.
Oh, yeah. I thought he was. I thought he had children's teeth in that thing.
Yeah, he probably both gives it the flavour. You know,
it's very important.
So when the Hunting Horn is finished, it's charged its full bar. You can unleash its ultimate attack, which will activate all your buffs at once for the whole party. So you don't have to concentrate so much on trying to keep those buffs up all the time. And so you're more focused on a bit more attack while still supporting. It takes a little bit of that, it takes a little bit of complexity out of it, but makes it more fun at the same time. So it brings it up a little bit, what some people say, the same damage as the rest of the weapons. I still have to play around with it though, because I haven't unlocked all the switch skills for it yet. So while we're on that, switch skills. So every weapon has three skills you can swap out. They'll be different for each weapon. So some of the ones I'm going to talk about, Longsword is the one I've been playing around with. So for example, you could change its sheathing attack. So when you just unsheath your weapon and attack straight out, it starts off with just a forward slash. But you can change it to a double slash, which not only allows it to slash twice from a sheath position, but adds flinch free to it. So you can absorb an attack while doing it. Its downside, however, is that it's slower, and with a longsword, you're constantly trying to counterattack with your abilities. So with that slower draw, it's a bit harder to work out when to count, like you'll be able to counter.
Yeah, I fucking hated the longsword.
And you can change the Spirit Helm Breaker, which is the classic longsword move, which is the anime jump in the air, comes slicing down the enemy, and then it has a delayed whooshing as it blows up the enemy.
It is the weeb weapon.
It is the weeb weapon. You can change that to what's called, I think, this Sakura round slash, which is more of a ground dash, which does a round circle, and it can hit multiple times. So it hits twice, and it does a similar thing where it will go after a delay, it will hit the monster multiple times. But it's weaker than the helm slash because it's easier to land. However, it's really great because it hits so many times. It's great for building up elemental damage. So if you've got a sleep sword or something like that, or poison, it's great for those situations. And every weapon has these switch skills that you can swap out and customize how you play. Some of my favorite things with the greatsword is it has a skill bind ability, which will shoot out skill bind. They'll dodge out of the way. And for a greatsword, mobility is fantastic. It's like, holy shit. And then they'll sheath their blade and get an attack buff. And they can switch out skills, so they can bring out their sword and charge out as a shield and charge at the monster using the greatsword as a shield.
Yeah, far out. I haven't got into any of the switch skills or anything like that yet. I saw a menu prompt for it at some point.
First thing I did when I unlocked it was change my switch axe one, because the switch axe Y one kind of starts with, it's like a launch yourself forward and it gives you like the super armor so you can kind of not get knocked out of it. Okay. And I swapped it to one that yeets me upwards as an attack, but also you can press in midair to like do a dash forwards and downwards and slash them, and it charges up your sword mode. So it's just like, yeah, it charges that up super quickly rather than actually having to do it the normal way. So there's a lot of customization here.
Yeah, the weapons have been bloody fantastic. I've enjoyed what they've done with them. But the thing I think that really drew me in with Monster Hunter World, which was my first Monster Hunter game, was just the monster designs in that. It's just absolutely amazing. And I got to say, so far from what I've played, I think they've really knocked it out of the park with the designs of the monsters in Monster Hunter Rise. Andrew, have you got any sort of favorites or anything like that so far?
Sorry, can I just quickly, just to let you know, Zach... Just let you know, Zach.
You know
I'm sorry.
The answer to this question is too. So
yeah, I just want to just let you know, 47 of these monsters are returning. Only 11 are new.
Well, they're new to me.
They're returning from older games in the series, but it's fun to kind of see them returning as someone who's been playing it for a long time. But someone new, they're all new to you, so it doesn't really matter, right?
My point is like these monster designs. Like I found World very beginning is like. Wyvern and dragons, they're very sort of like, they're cool monsters, but it didn't have the variation that other games had in the series.
So
my favorite one returning so far, and I'm only probably 12-13 hours in, would be Sonderkampf. And that's like the water dragon sleepy thing. It's like it'll swim around through a lake on its back, and it'll smack rocks together to try and blind you, like with like a flash, and then it'll breathe sleeping juice on you. Which, let's be honest, I need anyone in real life to breathe sleeping juice on me. But then, like, yeah, and it's just like this gorgeous design, and its animations are really amazing. And I just want to take a moment to point out how gorgeous this game looks, even though it's on the fucking Switch. And and I've had zero frame rate drops as well on the Switch. Mm.
Thank you, RE Engine.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, it looks absolutely stunning. I can't say, I know you guys have said that you haven't seen any frame drops. For me, and just me personally, I've definitely seen frames drop for sure. Sometimes just when I'm like going about the maps, just gathering stuff, and only when docked, it seems to be. It doesn't seem to happen when I'm playing handheld. But that's just me. It seems like both of you guys had a pretty smooth experience.
I've only 12 hours. I mean, we're probably about the same amount in. But the other one is I'm just really looking forward to the PC release in this so I can see it like take into the next level of graphical fidelity.
That's going to be interesting because when World came out PC, they released a higher texture detail pack.
Yeah, and that tanked my graphics card like nothing else. But now I've got a 3070, so like I can probably handle it.
Yeah, while we're here,
damn!
70, not the 80. Yeah. I went with a slightly cheaper one.
Still the 70s?
I got
the 3080.
I went with a slightly cheaper one because I could actually get it because it was in stock. Because there were people who were lucky, like Paul, who got it, and then there were Bitcoin
Everybody
miners
else.
Who got the rest. Well, Bitcoin miners who then went and bought up all the rest of the stock, as well as the scalpers, and then everyone else who actually wanted one for legitimate reasons can't get one. But that's a completely different discussion with a completely different amount of salt to.
All right, so for Andrew, can you give me your favorite? I think you already answered one, but favorite returning monster and favorite new monster that you've seen so far or know about, and Zach, just what your favorite monsters so far are.
Well, favorite new one so far will be Somnacanth, but that's also the freshest in my mind because it was the most recent one I've hunted. Favorite returning is kind of a bit difficult because I haven't had the more interesting returning ones yet. I've only just hit HR4, so it's like I'm waiting for the cool ones. And the thing is, there is one, there are a couple that I know are coming up that I haven't fought yet that I know I'm going to love because I love Mizutsune, I love Camellios. Camellios is the first DLC pack one that's coming in a month's time. But Mizutsune is a lot of fun the first time I fought it back in Generations, and that's just the bubble dragon of Doom. Like, that was so fucking cool.
Yes, I fought that in the demo. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It's so cool. With you saying that, because Mizutsune, I've got it right in front of me because it's Mizutsune.
Yeah.
M-I-Z-U.
Mizu's water in Japanese.
Mizu's water. Anyway, and then its other brother, Almudron.
Wait. It's got a brother? That's new.
Mizutsune has a brother from another mana, Alodron.
Look.
Did I get it right?
Look, I don't know lore-wise if like they have any relationship, but the reason why I call them that is because you've got Soap Dragon. I call Bubble Dragon Soap Dragon. And then you have Mud Dragon.
Oh, okay. That's cool. I haven't seen that yet, and that's new, so...
Yeah, I saw him in trailers.
That's
stuff,
exciting.
He's actually quite a lot of fun. Like, they're using some interesting mechanics in this game for some of the...
I'm looking at my amiibo for Bagnamalo right now, and I'm very unsure about his design.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. I thought it was all right, but he looks very... I don't know. He looks like he's straight out of an anime.
He's no Nogigante, can't he?
Yeah, it's not Nogigante. Nogigante was
fucking good. He's no Balrog. Like,
definitely no Balrog.
And where the hell is Steve? Steve's been gone for like four games.
The one on the left, Paulie, kind of looks like the Balrog. I'm into that one. What's that one?
This one is Nogigante.
That was in World.
Yeah. It's pretty badass.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
the
flagship
remember.
One for World.
He won Horny Boy.
Ruffles.
Now, I gotta say, I'm so torn with what my favorite monster is in this one so far. I feel like I'd have to go with I cannot remember its name at all, but the Sumo Boy. So basically, there's one monster whose design
sorry,
is like.
Was that Smaug that you just showed?
Sorry?
What's that Smaug that you just pulled out?
Oh, this is a rusted Kshaladara.
Oh, God. I thought it was Smaug. I don't know. I can't remember.
This is
names.
Actually a Monster Hunter monster.
For our audio listeners, Kalgar's showing his monster, which I cannot remember the name of already.
Kshaladara.
Kshala.
I've said it literally, not even 30 seconds. Fucking hell.
Kabla blah blah blah, yes.
How much have you drank tonight already?
I've already finished a bourbon, and that's all I need.
I've had like two bourbons, a cocktail and a half, fucking hell.
I get dad drunk. I have like three or four drinks, and I'm absolutely plastered. That's enough for me.
Maybe I'm just a tank, who knows? Anyway.
Sumo Boy. So his design is kind of like part alligator, part tortoise. And like I feel like I see a little bit of platypus in there, but I don't know if that's just my Aussie bias coming in. But it looks like it has a bit of a beak. And it is just so bloody cool. Normally it slithers around on the ground, but then it will also like engorge itself with a whole bunch of water to inflate its belly and like triple or quadruple its size, and then it sort of stands off as a sumo would. So that's like why I'm referring to it as the big old sumo boy.
It,
so cool.
It even does the sumo slaps. It does the sumo slaps at you.
Oh, so
it reminds,
cool.
It reminds me of like the kappa demon from Japanese folklore as well. Like the little hat.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're going for. But they had to make it a beast of some.
Well, I guess
turtles. Like, very beast. But well,
kappa,
anyway,
well,
yeah.
I mean, a kappa is kind of like a turtle
kappa.
Demon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a. Yeah. But yeah. I definitely. Platypus, turtle, sumo. That's definitely what I'm going with.
Oh, so cool. So cool. But I feel like I got to give a shout out to the bloody double penis dragon. That's right, I believe it's called the Kizu.
Oh, Kezu.
Oh, I hate it so much. This is something of your nightmares.
I gotta look this up. Double
it looks
penis
like,
dragon.
All right, it looks like an uncircumcised dick with teeth. right? That has wings, right? And then the other end of it, it looks like, yeah, just some weird little sucker tentacle thing. It's disgusting. And it's like this sort of electric-based monster. It's got no eyes as well, too, so which makes it even creepier and slightly more like a penis. And yeah, buddy, its creepy head will like shoot out at you, and it elongates and moves around in one attack. And there's another attack where basically it shocks the area, and it gets its tail and attaches it to the ground like this big sucker and just electrifies the ground. And just all of its animations and just the look of this thing is so fucking disgusting. I absolutely love it. It is awesome.
I just realized I don't think you've even seen it in the caves doing its hang from the roof ability.
Oh, you're kidding me. It hangs from those gross sucker things.
Ugh. It hangs from the fucking ceiling and then just spits lightning at you and just hides up there where you couldn't reach it in older games. But now we've got bugs to catch you little bastard.
and infinite kunai.
Far out.
But yeah, because basically it used to definitely be the horror creature, because you'll go into the cave and it has no battle music. If you listen, there's no battle music.
Straight up no theme song. It just has no music when you're fighting. It's just ambience.
So you go into a cave and it would suddenly just attack you from the roof.
Oh dear.
Speaking of music, the music's amazing in this one.
It's so good.
Yeah, I've been digging. I've been absolutely loving it. I love the ambient sounds as well, too. But yeah, the music's fantastic. Is there a difference in the battle music between this and Monster Hunter World? I don't know if it's... I'm just remembering it as the same.
They definitely added more of the classic themes for the returning monsters.
Okay.
Where World didn't... I think World went a few times with generic... Like, they're generic battle music.
I mean, I've noticed Rise does generic battle music for some of the locations, depending on what you're fighting, but... monsters, like certain monsters, definitely have their own themes, and that was happening in World as well, though it tended to be a bit more later in Iceborne with some of the returning ones. Like, the one I'll always call out as like a monster battle theme that I love would be, I forgot the monster's name, the Lightning Doggo. It was like super late in Iceborne. Fuck.
Yeah, no, my brain is now Zenoga.
That's it, Zenoga.
Oh, I was going to say Electrike. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. Sorry, Lucky, you're being kind of left out in this one.
No, that's all right. It's my fault for not playing this game that's super current.
I mean, on our own podcast, Sammy's usually in the position you are. So, like,
all right. I should bugger off now because it's been way over time, so
yeah, you better go roll some dice.
So I'm gonna leave now. Thank you very much for having me. You continue talking about Monster Hunter. So
before you bugger off, tell people your Twitter and Twitch.
I am Thundermace AUS, THUNDERMACEAUS. You can find me on Twitch and Twitter. Twitch, I usually stream Tuesday and Thursdays, 7 PM till usually about 10 PM.
Ooh yeah.
And it'll pretty much be Monster Hunter Rise until most likely Resident Evil Village comes out.
Yeah, fair.
Ooh, nice.
And maybe some Guilty Gear Strive in there. So yeah, enjoy all that. Thank you very much.
Audio, take it easy. Thanks again, Paul.
Bye, Paul.
Thanks all right, a
bye.
Lot, Paul.
Bye.
You bloody beauty. Now that Paul has left, it's time to get into the negatives of Monster Hunter Rise. Ooh.
Wait, there are negatives?
Oh, I certainly think there are. Now, look, I really enjoy Monster Hunter Rise. I'm having a lot of fun with it, but I think Monster Hunter games have to come with a massive caveat in that they're really, really in-depth and like really, really dense, and the game does not do a very good job of explaining to you what you're supposed to be doing. And by that, that's I fair. Mean, everything is just walls of text. So you want a reading challenge? The first 6 hours of Monster Hunter Rise is perfect for you. I feel like I spent probably about 20% of my time just reading stuff. Every item you pick up, there'll be a fresh tutorial to read. Everything you do for the first few hours, you'll be seeing a fresh tutorial. Now, you know, the reason is because that's such a dense game. But, you know, I think that's something to be aware of if you're completely fresh to Monster Hunter and you've never played one of these games before. But with that being said, I also think in a lot of ways, it's also probably the most accessible of the two that I've played, all my Monster Hunter experiences.
As someone who's been playing since Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate, yeah.
Yeah, it feels super accessible.
In comparison, because back then they'd go, here's a hunt, go pick some mushrooms. Here's a hunt, go fight a monster. But they wouldn't teach you any of those mechanics and how that stuff worked or how skills worked. And I noticed this one didn't really do a great job of teaching how the skills worked in terms of the armor ones. Where, you know, get enough points in this armor and, you know, get stacked the same one to a point and you'll get upgrades to that ability. Mm. It didn't really say any, or if it did, I certainly didn't see it, but I skipped a lot of tutorials as well because I've been playing for so bloody long at this point that it's second nature to me. So maybe that's on me, but...
No, 100%. When it got to about the, 40th, maybe 50th wall of text, I didn't keep count. It would have been impossible. I definitely just started skipping through it. And I did pay for that a little bit, but it was wonderful to play last night with Paul because he did definitely read all the tutorial stuff and he helped out a lot with tips on how to play.
Well, that's the other side, is that some of it is going to be new to this game, which case, someone like Paul or I have been playing Monster Hunter for years, we skip the stuff that we know and just read the new things, right? And so it's like, okay, he's been reading tutorials but only the new stuff, so it's like, okay, how does this mechanic work? Okay, I know how this mechanic works because I've been playing with this mechanic for 10 years now. Or this is a new mechanic, I read this one, this is how this one works because I read it because it's new. So no, I totally get the brick wall situation though.
Now the reason why I said that it feels like the most sort of accessible one to me is because basically there's no fucking around. When you get in there, as Paul said earlier, they give you an arrow just to point you in the direction of the monster that you're going to be hunting, whereas in World, you had to do tracking in order to find that monster.
You should have seen before World, my dude. Before World, you would have to run around randomly because there's no way to track it. And then when you do find it, you'd have to throw a paintball at it so that it's got a mark, so that when it leaves the area, you know where it goes.
Oh my god.
And then the paintball wears off after a bit, so you'd have to hit it with another paintball. And after a while, you get a sense for where a particular monster is going to spawn, so you just go straight there, but you still got the to deal with the paintball thing. And it's a
cycle. I bet you it still had the 50-minute time limit at that point as well, too. Yeah.
Oh, it definitely still had the 50-minute time limit. And I mean, that's the thing, though. 50 minutes is a long time, and that's one thing to kind of point out to new hunters stuff. It's like, you have a long time to do these hunts. Don't, feel free to use all of that time. That's not a problem. Be patient, because if you cart three times, then you're out. But if you take a long time, if you finish it at 49 minutes and 59 seconds without carting, you get a better reward than you did if you would have, carted. Because they take away your money rewards, so...
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Take your time, learn the monster patterns, learn your attack patterns, you'll be sweet.
I feel like if you are, running up on your 50-minute time limit, you probably need to do some grinding to upgrade your weapons and armor. Because that's, the main loop of the game. And the thing I absolutely love about it, and it's Monster Hunter Rise has that absolutely in spades, is that loop of going in, killing a monster, going and making better weapons and better armor to go back in and kill bigger and cooler and scarier monsters. It's really cool. Really cool. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, I don't know, for me personally, I don't think I've played enough. I have rolled credits because I defeated the big boss in the village quest area, but that is just, not really the ending. You're still going to do all the gathering hub stuff as well.
Really, rolling credits in a Monster Hunter game just means you've reached the start of the real game. So,
okay.
Most of the time, it's the same kind of thing like an MMO, right? You hit max level, cool, now the game begins.
Oh, shit. Yeah, so look, I don't think I'm going to put a review score on Monster Hunter, but I think, hey, look, if you're curious about it and from what you've seen from, trailer footage and gameplay and stuff looks interesting to you, then Monster Hunter Rise is a perfect one to jump into. It's a portable one now because it's on the Switch, so you can play it on the go, so it's really, really fun in that aspect as well, too. I definitely would recommend it to anyone who's curious or people, apparently to people who are Monster Hunter fans as well too, based on what you and Paul have said, Andrew.
Come hunt with me.
Oh yeah. Now, Lockie, is there anything you want to talk about this week, my friend?
I don't know. My brain's sort of melted now with all the Monster Hunter stuff. So.
I'm sorry, Lockie, but I need to hear your voice. Right. Tell me about something you've played. Anything.
That's all right. All right. Well, then, in theme with all of the monster crap, I've been playing a hell of a lot of Monster Train. Now, have either of you heard of Monster Train?
No.
I've played it because it was on PC Game Pass. I will just say it's very much not my thing. But
oh no!
I mean, it's just. I'm trying to find the right words for it because I don't despise it. I'm a bunch of drinks deep at this point. No, I'm trying to find the right words for it because I don't hate it. It's just, I think usually when I find myself playing a card game, I prefer to be playing a physical card game rather than something like that. That's all.
Oh, okay. So, like, you prefer playing actual Yu-Gi-Oh over the video game version of Yu-Gi-Oh?
Having not played Yu-Gi-Oh, but yes, it would be that same thing. Like, I'd prefer to play Magic in person than like the Magic Arena or something. Though I've dropped out of Magic too, but I've got a million card games. It's like, it's just something about the tactile feel of the cards and things, you know?
Yeah, it's the heart of the cards, and it's like a.
And I totally get
Japanese guy that stole all those Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Oh, it's beautiful. I totally get like the appeal of these games in digital form because. You don't have to go hunting them. You don't have to spend $1 million on cards. And particularly something like this, you know, it's more roguelike, which I'm into roguelikes. And you'd think deck building roguelikes would be something I'd stick with. But I've tried so many and just bounced off. I'm just like, okay, I've learned that the hard way that this is not my thing.
Hey, fair enough. To each his own. I got to say, though, this game, like, it's not just throwing out cards. And even, like, you know, to those Yu-Gi-Oh games, like, you don't see really much go on the screen. Whereas this game, it's all visual. Like, you see how the cards interact with the monsters on the train on a really highly polished scale.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, really well executed. Again, it's just like, so far out of my wheelhouse that I couldn't keep going.
Yeah, I gotta say, in terms of the actual game, like, you know, I'm a big fan of Slay the Spire. That's one of my favorite roguelites, and a lot of people compare it to that. I mean, it is its own beast, but there are similarities there because Slay the Spire is also a card building sort of roguelike game. But this one has an added level of complexity to it where you have Oh, that's a nice one.
That's what he thinks of Slay the Spire.
Yeah, Slay the Spire.
Have you seen
this? I'm all with you on digital card games, Kalgar. Get the fuck off my stuff.
Well, that's the thing.
I've played
a bunch. It's just not my thing. That's all. That's it. Lockie, have you seen, just complete tangent here, have you seen the speed run of Slay the Spire?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Like the 5-minute speed run or something stupid.
Yeah, the
like
one
that.
Where the developers watched it?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was amazing.
That was amazing to watch. And Zach, I know you don't like the card building, clearly, based off your comment a moment ago. Watch this video. It's 5 minutes of your life, and it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'm down. I love those really... The quicker the speed run, the better, because, you know, they just broke the absolute shit out of that game, and it is so much fun to watch. Particularly those, like, as much as I don't really want to plug IGN, they definitely don't need it. The videos they have of the developers reacting to speedruns are fucking great. It is so cool to see these developers basically just going, what are they doing to my game that I made? I spent all this time on.
Those are most of the speedruns I watch. And, like, the Hades one was fucking great too. Lucky.
Oh, yeah, the Hades one was great. No, that's all right. So I've already covered off Monster Train in a previous run. So for anyone that is playing Monster Train out there or are interested in deck building games with a roguelike take on it, Monster Train is high quality. I gotta say, it's fucking fun. I love it. It's really addictive, and they just released some DLC, which is some more good quality stuff. So the way that the game works is they have these different clans, and they have completely different game styles and decks that you build through it. And the newest one that they added was this worm crystal based clan, and it's fucking great. Everything looks hideous in the best possible way. It's absolutely disgusting. It's wonderful. And they have also included an incredible new optional boss that you can take on at the end. This entirely new, there's all these new upgrades that you have based on your original game, that you can build upon, where you can fuse monsters together. You can get all these cool, wacky sort of, designs through your cards through this new DLC. So, like, honestly, it feels like an expansion. It's fucking amazing. Get on it.
Ooh, is there a double dick monster in there?
No, but when I looked up the double dick dragon, I wasn't able to find the one from Monster Hunter. I did find a lot of, like, fan art.
I've dropped an image of that into the chat.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so creepy.
I can't see it because I can't see because I'm using my phone as my screen. Yeah.
So you'll see that when you're done, and preemptively, you're welcome.
Paint a visual picture for me and our listeners.
Oh, nice. Now, Lockie, would you
paint a visual picture? No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay,
think of it as a pale white dragon, not with scales, just like skin. Maybe see the scaleless a little bit from Dark Souls. Very elongated neck, no eyes, and then its head is literally just a mouth, teeth, and a tongue. It's just horrific. It's fucked up.
And it also has two penises, right?
I mean, that's why people call it the penis monsters. Like the elongated neck and head shape is very phallic.
Okay. I thought it was actually packing two massive Ds.
No.
Sent me down the wrong direction then when I looked that up, because I've just seen dragons with two massive Ds, like, linked together. It's weird.
No, the running meme in the Monster Hunter community is that its head is a D and so is its tail. So
nice.
So there you go.
Well, it sounds like the fans from DeviantArt have really taken that description and ran with it.
I gotta find out when Kezu was first made, because it's a really old monster in Monster Hunter. Like it's actually like been around for a long time, but they took it out for world for good reason, because we didn't need to see that in glorious 4K, and now they're giving it to us in glorious 4K. So.
Yes,
finally.
I can't believe they didn't have it in world. That was a terrible decision.
I mean. Yeah.
At least let it be DLC. Like, people will pay.
I mean, sure. Kezu, Monster Hunter, first appearance. I'm not getting a lot of information here. Why is this being... Oh, that's right. The fucking... You know they do, like, recolors of some of them for, like, the subspecies? It's red.
No.
They literally went with a red rocket.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Oh, shit. All right, guys. I think I need a break. I think that I've come to that point. Let's take a quick break and then we'll jump back in with the gaming news. Our first story comes out of IGN and was written by Matt Perslow. Chinese police in the city of Kunshan have shut down a video games cheat operation that has amassed $76 million in revenue. The operation, called Chicken Drumstick, ran a website that sold cheats to players via subscriptions, according to a report from BBC. These subscriptions, which provided cheats for games such as Overwatch and Call of Duty Mobile, started at approximately $10 per day and ran up to $200 per month. Kunshan police collaborated with Chinese gaming company Tencent to raid during the chicken drumstick operation, where 10 people were arrested and $46 million worth of assets were seized. Among the items seized were a number of luxury sports cars. Cheat manufacturing on an industrial scale has been a problem in gaming for a number of years, spanning from wall hacks for shooters to gold farms for MMOs. Kunshan police believe Chicken Drumstick to be the world's biggest cheating operation case because of the huge amount of money involved. The cheats offered by a chicken drumstick, the sort used to give you an unfair advantage in PvP games, simply makes playing games worse for everyone. That's not to say there are not acceptable cheats, though. Games like GTA San Andreas have developer-coded cheats built into the game to make things fun for the player. Well, duh. Of course, it's not the same thing as inbuilt cheats. Who was this article written for? My God.
This article was written for the lowest common denominator, and you know it. It was IGN.
And I should know. I clearly should have read that entire thing and just edited that last part out. But hey, this is where we are. And, man, this story is
this is how we die.
First off, Chicken Drumstick. They're having fun here. Come on, they're having a bit of fun. Like, over in America, like, these strike forces always have these ridiculously stupid masculine names. Like, you know, Strike Force Falcon Opera, or, you know, Strike Force Bloody Night Shadow,
Falcon
or whatever,
Opera.
You know.
Honest question. Who the fuck is spending $200 per month cheating for Call of Duty Mobile?
Holy
yes.
Shit.
What the hell?
What kind of dumbass, fucking janky ass bullshit is that?
I know. How are people making millions of dollars by creating basically like a cartel, but in the video gaming space? Yeah, it's incredible. But
also cheats like aimbots for Overwatch. Fucking have they not? Who is paying for aimbots for Overwatch? Have they not played Soldier 76? His ultimate is an aimbot. What the? Come on.
Oh, far out. I guess, like, if the cheats are there, there's going to be people with the expendable cash to lap them up. But, like, what? How is that fun for anybody? It's no fun for the people being cheated against. I can't imagine how fun it would be to be the cheater. Like, surely if it's just God mode and you're just killing everybody, you're going to get bored of that in 15 minutes, right? Like, how is that fun for anyone?
There are a lot of people, and I'm not one of them, but I've learnt this the hard way, that there are a lot of people who love swinging their massive e-peens around, even if they are artificially inflated by the paying someone to make your aiming actually work. So it's just like, oh, I'm better than you at this video game, without actually like having to be better at them at this video game. It's sad. Honestly, yeah, it's just straight up sad.
Lockie, could you see yourself ever downloading, paying $10 a month to get some cheats in Dota 2?
No, I don't need to because I'm already good.
Hey!
Look at
that. And that is what I prefer. Someone to actually beat me by being good.
Now, people who are listening to this can't see this, but Lockie just put on a pair of sunglasses as he was saying that.
Oh, no, yeah. He didn't put them on. They floated from above him and just... And for some reason, I'm seeing the text deal with it.
It's a production. It's a big production I got going on back here. There's, like, wires and pulleys. I have a Foley guy. Hi, Greg. Yep. Yeah.
I'm just seeing the words deal with it appear on screen as well. Like,
Snoop Dogg started playing, blunt flew into your mouth. It was all a fantastic image.
I don't know how you've done this, but the words deal with it appearing on my screen, not in your little camera thing, just across my monitor. They're appearing on my TV over there that's not even turned on. Like, how have you done this?
But my point being is that, like, if you shit at a game, Don't buy stuff. Just give up.
Yep.
Learn how to get good. Get good. That's the rule. You got to get good. And buying cheats is not getting good.
There's get good scrub, but there's also, like, you know, losing is okay. You've got to, like, if you want to get really good at a game, you need to practice. And just paying someone to suddenly, you know, boost you or whatever isn't helpful to anyone. Nor I feel like, you know, you'd feel better if you actually learnt and got good and started wrecking scrubs for real, rather than paying someone in China Chicken Drumstick was the police, whatever, calls themselves something, and throwing money at them to get good at COD Mobile, you know?
Yeah. Look, I think there are some people that are genuinely buying the cheat, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it's probably linked to money laundering. Because it is an insane, it's an insane service that nobody really needs. And I'm sure a very niche market would exist that does utilize it. But I'd say, like, when we're talking about millions and millions of dollars, that sounds to me like mafia laundering shit.
That's fair. On a semi-related note, and this is like an older news story, and by that I mean like a week ago. But did you see what the Outriders devs were doing to people who were caught cheating?
Oh, yeah, I heard, they branded, you explain it, yeah, go.
Yeah, they put the word, like, cheater across the screen when you're playing. Like, you actually get a watermark that says cheater if they've detected you as a cheater. And you cannot ever get rid of that watermark. Once a cheater, always a cheater, and you're permanently marked. And you also go into, like, a separate queue for, grouping up with other players. So it's only cheaters playing with each other. And it's watermarked on your screen, so if you happen to stream it, the word cheater is going to be across your screen, unless you do something clever to cover it, like put your camera in the right spot. But also it's got to be it's an awkward spot to put your camera. It's like, why have you put it there? That's exactly where the cheater brand goes.
Yeah, I feel like there's no getting away with that. And yeah, it's such a good idea. Whatever developers can do to just sort of to piss the cheaters off, I'm all for. I believe Fall Guys did the same thing. They made a cheaters only server as well too, and I believe Call of Duty have done a similar thing as well. It's a great idea. You deserve what you get.
And to tangent on from there, have you seen some of the fun stuff devs put for pirates playing their games?
I have. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now. But, please tell me some.
My favorite one is Serious Sam 3. And so, again, this is like if they detect using their anti-piracy software that you're playing a pirated copy of the game, they'll do this to you and just fucks with the player. So in Serious Sam 3, there are enemies in Serious Sam that are like giant scorpion monsters with machine guns and stuff. And that's just a normal thing in Serious Sam. It's just it says serious. It's not. It's a brilliant game. But in Serious,
no, it didn't sound very serious at all. It sounded very silly.
It's fucking great. I love it. Apparently, the new one's really bad though, which makes me sad. But in Serious Sam 3, if you had a pirated copy and they detected it, it would just spawn one of the red scorpion monsters, which are the tougher ones, and it would be immortal, and it would chase you forever, trying to shoot you. So you just couldn't kill this thing, and it's and then there was like one of the Batman Arkham games, I think it was the first one, the Asylum, after a certain point your backglide thing wouldn't work, so you couldn't get across whatever gap it was trying to teach you how to use that item. It just couldn't make it because it'd start and you'd just fall.
I heard about that, and people would like troubleshoot it and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're a cheater. you're a good pirate at this.
And if you want to get meta about it, there's a game called Game Dev Tycoon or Game Dev Studio or something like that, and if you pirated the game, then your game in their game, the entire point of that game is you're running a games dev company that's selling your games, etc. You put in the kind of game, make your code, all that kind of stuff. If you pirated,
that sounds fun.
There's a few like that, but if you pirated that game, your games would be pirated so much that you would never turn a profit in the game.
I love that. That's some fantastic meta stuff.
That's very meta.
Proper meta. And a bunch of people outed themselves as having pirated the game by going onto the official forums, going, hey, there's a bug where, like, I can't make money due to piracy. Like, that's because you're a filthy pirate.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, Andrew. That was an absolute treat. Full disclosure for our audience, I don't know if you guys can tell, but we are having a couple of cheeky drinks. It's a long weekend. It's a Saturday night. I've sunk a couple
you have
of
fucking footage of me making a cocktail. Come on.
True, I do talk about us making a cocktail. That happened.
Oh, I did say that it was children's teeth that you were rattling, but...
I cannot confirm nor deny such allegations. Something, something, slander, something, something. I'm not going to elaborate on this. Continue.
Well, you know what? I am going to elaborate on some of these quick stories. Now, our first one for us is Sony is closing down the PlayStation store on the PlayStation 3, the Vita, and the PSP this winter. So, basically, that means if you own any of these by current day standards, ancient consoles, then you're not going to be able to download or buy anything from the PlayStation store from winter onwards. Well, maybe download? I don't know.
From what I understand, you'll still be able to download them, but you won't be able to buy copies of them.
So if you own any of these, make sure you buy anything you want to buy, I guess, if anyone out there still owns these
consoles. That's right.
That's
right. Winter sale, anyone on the Vita?
I mean, look, I had a Vita once upon a time. I've since sold it. I loved my Vita as much as Sony didn't love my Vita. Look, it was a great piece of tech. It didn't deliver on the promises because they promised a seamless, hey, you can get your PS4, or was it PS3 at the time? It might have been three. They promised you can get your PS3 games saved seamlessly across to the Vita version and back and forth and back and forth. You know, exactly what the Switch does now, but the Switch actually works. The Vita, that wasn't anywhere near as seamless as they said, and it worked some of the time.
I feel like not only that, Sony kind of just put the Vita out and then said, all right, that's it.
In Japan, the Vita went gangbusters and there was a lot of support. Everywhere else, there wasn't. So,
which explains why if you own a Vita, you have all the JRPGs you could ever want to bloody play in that library.
The best version of Persona 4 went to Vita exclusive until recently when it went on Steam, but like for a long time Persona 4 Golden was only on the Vita. And I mean, I used to love playing Persona 4 Golden lying in bed on the Vita before falling asleep. Like, it was a good time.
Damn, man. Well, you know what? Now, if you ever get your hands on another Vita, you're not going to be able to have that experience again.
I mean, it's already on my account because I bought it.
True. Just log back in. Damn.
Yeah. Damn. It's new purchases that are the problem. That's...
Yes.
Yeah. That said, this does pose a problem for people who want to, like, historically archive games, though, which is an entire different discussion, which could get deep and take up time again. But that's a thing that's kind of, anytime a store closes, that conversation comes back up, like archiving old games. And Sony in particular seems to be a bit anti-archiving, oddly enough.
Yep. There's so many games on the PS4 that you, like, so many games from their earlier catalogue you just can't get now. It's just impossible to get legally, anyway. I feel like, unfortunately, it's kind of been left to the pirates at this point to sort of keep track of video game history and keep all these old games that we love.
That's right. Not so filthy anymore, are they, Zach?
That's the thing, right? It's like, as far as I'm concerned, piracy is, I mean, I was going to say fine, but that's not the right word.
No, necessary is the word you're looking for.
Necessary is probably, that's the right word. Like, in terms of, like, archiving stuff that you can't get anymore, like, you literally, after winter, you literally cannot purchase these games.
Mm.
There is no legal avenue to get it, therefore the only avenue to get that is piracy. So at that point, is it still a crime to get a hold of this game that you literally cannot pay for?
Mm.
And the answer is yes.
Yes.
On a legal level, yes. On a moral level, I'd say probably not. You know, and again, this is again.
Crimes are quite mild in law. So
exactly, that's the thing, and that's again pointing out.
You're talking about the ethics of it. I agree.
That's again pointing out the whole lefty leaningness of my own damn show. But like,
no, that's just the Australian in you. We were founded on piracy.
That's true. That's true. We are literally an island of criminals.
Yeah, we are a pirate country. I mean, that is our heritage.
That is our collective heritage, though my parents, one came from England as a child and the other was born here, but his parents were Italian, so I'm kind of on the not-so-convict side.
Well, aren't you high and mighty?
No, I'm still a filthy fucking lefty, so deal with it.
Lord Andrew, his hands are clean, everyone.
Oh no, they're fucking not.
Well, let me tell you a little story, Andrew. If you come from Italian heritage, have you ever heard of the Romans?
Do you know
how many countries they took?
Yeah, exactly. Why did I literally just say no? My hands aren't fucking clean.
Okay.
Yes, I've been drinking, and yes, I'm at a fucking tangent party. Deal with it.
No, it's fun. No. What we were talking about was boring anyway. This is better.
Let's talk about Hades again.
Oh my god. Yes.
Okay, fine. All right. Yeah, Hades. I'm down to talk about some motherfucking Hades. So
I actually haven't played it in a while.
The reason why Andrew has brought up Hades, I just dropped the iPad, is because Hades has just cleaned up at the BAFTAs. That's right.
Completely fucking deserved.
Oh yes, it is. We all preached it, and the BAFTAs agrees. Hades is some good shit. Hades got best game, artistic achievement, game design, narrative, and the voice actor Logan Cunningham, who played Hades, Achilles, Poseidon, Asterius, Charon, and the storyteller, won best Charon. Voice actor.
Charon.
Yeah, I want to
Shazza.
I want to point out two things right now. One, 11 out of 10, Zach, for somehow turning that tangent back on fucking track. Well done. Like you needed a fucking 720 no scope right there. For two,
oh no, he needs another he needs a BAFTA just for that.
Yeah, fucking hell.
I really need some cheat software for that one.
I swear you fucking aimbotted that one. And for two though, Logan Cunningham as a voice actor, holy fucking shit! Like he's the go to voice actor for Supergiant Games ever since their first game Bastion. Mm. Like the big. Nowadays, it's not so groundbreaking, but at the time, it was, you know, the world builds itself around you, the narrator reacts to stuff you say, and the narrator had an amazing voice. That was Logan Cunningham. It was him.
Mm.
So, like, he's kind of gotten he's kind of earned a forever voice actor role at Supergiant. And the dude's just great at what he does.
Oh, considering I didn't even realize that he played all of these characters, like, definitely throughout it, like, every single character was voice acted to perfection.
They feel very distinct. Like, they didn't feel like they were being voiced by the same person.
Also, Karen has 130-plus voice lines. Like, they put out an infographic about the voice lines, and he was one of the fewest, but it's still 130-something, and they're all just variations on... So, like, a character who literally cannot talk still has 130-plus voice lines that are distinct enough to be worth putting in as separate files.
And you know what that is, Aaron? Aaron. I called you Aaron. Aaron. My God. Andrew. One of our wonderful guests of all time.
You are confusing me with a better guest, I'm aware.
You're both excellent, and that's why I call you both Aaron. Anyone that I think is excellent, I call Aaron. So anyway...
I'll take it.
Yeah, like you know what that is? That is just good representation right there.
Mm.
Giving a shit ton of voice lines to people that can't speak. That is representation of the mute right there.
Well, yeah, okay.
He still kicks my ass in the game too. Fucking hell. That all hurts.
Such a good game. Yeah. I have not touched Curse of the Dead God since I spoke about it on the podcast last.
I have
gone back and played more Hades since then. So that should tell you all you need to know. Well deserving.
Nah, torch mechanics, like, fuck off.
I've had multiple people recommend me Curse of the Dead God since you talked about it, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Zach told me not to.
Hades,
it's just unnecessary.
Yeah. Not worth it.
Well, that's the problem, right? I love roguelikes, and now that Hades has happened, it's like, well, now everything's got to get compared to Hades. Good fucking luck to you. I wanted to make a roguelike. Yeah, but like, now that Hades exists, I can't.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, it's the best one. But even as just like a normal roguelike, it's annoying. Just the torch mechanics alone completely ruin the gaming experience. Like... You don't want to spend half of the time fucking lighting up a goddamn room. It's boring.
Well, you know what ruined my gaming experience was playing Cyberpunk 2077 last year. Ooh, geez, it was a buggy mess. And now...
But it was our buggy mess.
This name is just so many Zs and Ks, and it's not easy to pronounce. Andrzej Zawadzki?
I can only assume that's Andre...
That sounds Polish.
It is definitely Polish because it's cyberpunk.
It's definitely
Polish. It's CD Projekt Red, so...
Yeah, so this guy was the lead designer over at CD Projekt Red on Cyberpunk 2077. And he's now leaving after 8 years with the company. So, look, I don't know if this is a situation of, oh, yeah, he's leaving, you know, he had such a great experience, blah, blah, blah. Or it's like, okay, you know, you were the lead designer on this game. It was a complete disaster. You can leave and you can say it's on good terms, but you just whatever it is, you just got to get the fuck out of here. That's just a theory.
Could I potentially posit a third option?
Oh, 100%.
Andre has decided that he prefers sleep over working 400 hours a week and has decided to fucking leave.
Yeah, maybe he just wants a decent work-life balance. That's a pretty good reason to leave as well.
100%. Yeah. Oh, jeez. Oh, and speaking of Cyberpunk 2077, apparently the 1.2 patch was released, and apparently it contains ridiculous amounts of bug fixes, just pages and pages, and then apparently also introduces some fun new bugs as well too. Apparently some people have experienced a never-ending sandstorm when they're getting about the city in Cyberpunk 2077, Night City.
Sandstorm Darude Sandstorm play?
That's exactly the mental image I had of just the song playing on loop forever.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Honestly, here's a fun anecdote for you, Cyberpunk-wise. So I installed it on Thursday night for my partner Shay to play, because she's been interested in it and she knows how buggy it was, and then she saw that I bought it 50% off somewhere. She's like, you know, can I give it a go? It was a DRM-free of GOG, so I'm like, you know, I'll just install it in your machine, no problems. She experienced the same bugs that I did. I played before this patch. she played after Dispatch.
Oh, no.
So,
man, that game. I don't know when it's going to be worth playing. Like, I heard they slightly improved the police, as in they don't just teleport immediately in front of you. But it's just, even with that, it's still, we saw better police all the way back in Grand Theft Auto 5, where the police would drive up to you and get out of their cars like they do.
Fuck, I'd say San Andreas did that better.
The world. Exactly. So it just seems to me like, I don't know, unless they're going to really overhaul most of this, it's just never going to be anything worth playing.
And here's the thing. So with Cyberpunk, as far as, I mean, it needed a few more years in the oven. I'm sure we can kind of all agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, also, part of the issue here is that they were building a game very different from their last. I mean, for starters, it's in first person, so that's going to introduce a whole bunch of other sort of, you know, development challenges. Another one is, police weren't, like, I have tried to play through Witcher 3 and bounced off it a million fucking times, and the most recent one was literally a week ago. And the thing is, if you go commit crimes, people get angry at you and attack you, sure, but, like, the guards don't really do a lot that I've noticed. Mm. I don't know if I didn't get far enough in, but the guards don't do a lot. So they'd have to create from scratch that kind of police AI that would do things. So they've just gone, fuck it, teleporting. We don't have time to make it good. Mm. And then everything else that went with it, right? The hacking system. Like, the hacking system was kind of fun, but also super over-the-top complex. Mm. And I don't know if that was trying to keep in the tabletop stuff. Because keep in mind, this is based off a tabletop game. Mm. With The Witcher, there is a tabletop game, but the games and the books and the TV series came first, and the tabletop came later. In this case, it's the other way around. So you're trying to, like, turn a bunch of tabletop rules into a video game in a way that works.
Mm.
And I lost where I was going with that. but the problem is, like, and I found, even aside from that, though, is the shooting, like, the main mechanic of the game, shooting things, was just unsatisfying.
Mm.
I don't know. Did you find that when you played it, Zach? I think you didn't play it, did you, Lockie?
No, I haven't played it.
Fair.
I thought it looked shit in the demos. I wasn't interested in the game at all. Mm. And to hear that it was complete disaster on launch, yeah, I wasn't clamoring to get it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel
also,
you on
Keanu
that.
Reeves can take it or leave it.
I mean, I like Keanu.
I know that's controversial. Yeah.
No,
but,
well, eh. That's the thing. I like Keanu, but, like, a celebrity play in a video game isn't enough to sell it. I mean, what was the last time we saw a celebrity in a video game? Fucking Peter Dinklage in Destiny 2. How well did that go? They fucking replaced him. With Nolan.
I liked The Matrix. If he did more Matrix films, I would watch him in that. I would not buy a game with him in it, though.
I mean, I'd play a John Wick game.
Look, I think there's plenty of good examples. Like, you know, you got in Dishonored, I believe you had Susan Sarandon in that.
I never picked it.
What's his name from that space show in God of War playing Kratos?
Oh, okay. He did a great job.
Teal'c from
Chris.
Something. What was that show? How do I know the name of the character but not the show name? What is it?
The show was
Stargate,
Galactica. Was it Stargate or Galactica?
It was Stargate. He played Teal'c in Stargate.
I knew the character name was Teal'c. I didn't know which show it was.
Yeah.
He had that ridiculous piece
of plastic on his forehead. Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Judge, that's his
oh,
name.
That
Chris
show
Judge.
Was great.
Yes. There we go.
No, because I knew it was Chris something. I'm like, what's the surname? What's the surname? One of my friends fucking shares the surname with him. Who the fuck was he?
I love how we all know something about him, but we don't have the full picture.
Our powers combined, we get a whole human being almost.
Exactly. One possible piece of working knowledge about this man.
when you combine enough knowledge, you get the actual human being. That's how people work, right?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I don't know how people work, but you know what I do know? I know what's coming to PS Plus in April. That's for sure. The PS Plus games for April 2021 were Oddworld Soulstorm. That's a PlayStation 5 game. So for the very few PlayStation 5 owners out there, get that up your... Andrew, I can see from you yeeting your hands into the sky. You're very excited by this.
Yes, but I can't play it because my hands have now yeeted themselves off my arms and are in the sky.
I know, you're bleeding out right now. It's horrific.
Call help.
No Monster Hunter later. Fuck, yeah, what are you going to do? No good, no good. Days Gone is coming. It will be the PS4 PS Plus game. So
I just got my hands back.
That's good to
know. Days Gone just like handed them back and just like... But now they're stuck in this weird like thumbs down.
Hey, Days Gone.
Yeah, now you're double jointed.
I actually quite enjoyed it. I think, I don't know what you were turned off by, but there was certainly a lot of issues on release as far as bugs and whatnot were concerned. Apparently, when I played it, I still definitely did have some issues, but apparently now it's quite good to play. And apparently on the PS5, it plays at 60 frames per second, something like that.
The bare minimum then.
Yeah, exactly.
I can tell you what turned me off. Like, you say you don't know what turned me off. The Zed word. I'm bored of zombies, that's all.
Okay, that's fair. Look, if you're bored of zombies, yeah, this is not going to be for you, that's for sure. But if you're looking for a fun zombie game, I really enjoyed it. I think the main issue with me, which Lockie is going to instantly be turned off by, is the survival mechanics. It's all about, you know, having to find fuel for your motorbike and upgrading your motorbike tank and blah, blah, blah.
It's just a lot of work.
It is.
Like, when I play games, I like to enjoy myself. I don't like feeling like I'm working.
No, that's fair. Zach, you just turned me from I was going to attach to my account because, okay, it's a fun zombie game. But you said there's a word survival mechanics, so that's immediately turned me back to, like...
Yeah.
Gone.
Yep.
Nah.
That was the issue. I found like at the start you're shit. Basically running from the hordes and you know you're very vulnerable. But I found it took a while, but once you got in there and you got enough decent upgrades, then you really the tables do turn and you're running towards them. And yeah, taking on some of those hordes where you have like, you know, hundreds of zombies on screen chasing after you at once, it is fun and it is exhilarating, but if that is all that it gets you excited about this game, then it's probably not going to be worth playing for you, that's for sure. But yeah.
I did really like Left 4 Dead.
I'm glad you did, Lockie. Did you ever play
Isn't there a game coming out soon that's like a shoot-off by the original makers?
Back 4 Blood, yes.
That's it. I was going to say Sister Act Back in the Hood.
I love it.
That's where my mind was going.
There's been any recent.
No, it was back in Habit. Back in the Habit.
Back in the Sister Act.
Holy shit. Anyway, the last PS Plus game was Zombie Army 4 Dead War.
Oh, look, it's a Z word again.
As for the Xbox, it is not a PS Plus month for you, that's for sure.
Oh, look, no, Oddworld, so that pays for the rest. That's fine.
Okay, good. Bloody oath. As for the Xbox games with gold, we had Vikings, Wolves of Midgard, available from April 1st to the 30th, Truck Racing Championship, available from April 16th to May 15th, Dark Void, available from April 1st to the 15th, and Hard Corps Uprising, available from April 16th to the 30th of April.
Did you just say Hardcore Uprising?
Hard Corps Uprising.
Oh, okay. That sounded like a porno.
Maybe it is. Hey, maybe Dark Void is a porno. All I know is that this bloody... The Xbox Games with Gold were a bloody Dark Void. That is for sure. Now, look, I'm contemplating at this point, because it's been about the last 6 months now, where the Xbox Games with Gold are so fucking shit that I feel like they're not even worth mentioning. But, you know, I'm a Sony pony. Hmm. I'm a Sony simp. I feel like I'll just seem way too biased if I didn't include them when I do the PS Plus games for the month. But what do you think, Lockie? Should I just say fucking fuck them off at this point?
Like? I mean, run through them, and if I know of them, I'll say quickly whether or not they're good or bad or sound interesting.
Okay, how often does that happen? Like Vikings, yeah. Wolves of Midgard? That sounds interesting, but I'm sure
No,
it's
I'm
terrible.
Not interested in that. No, we just had a Vikings game. Not interested. Next.
I mean, if you want to play a Vikings game, just play fucking Valheim.
That's right. Yeah, Valheim is quite big. Yeah, Valheim is like a Minecraft slash something. Like something randomized Vikings.
It is a survival game, but it's a survival game that I don't want to yeet into the sun. And that on its own is a recommendation from any other human being. Because I fucking hate survival games. Like, I've learned the hard way that yeah. I hate that shit. But
the
Valheim,
survival mechanics in Valheim are way more in-depth than Days Gone. So, yeah maybe you wouldn't mind. Because in Days
really,
Gone, it is quite light.
In Valheim, it's kind of light as well, though. It's like, you can't die of starvation in Valheim. Food is a buff rather than a you won't die.
Well, no, Andrew, you can still die of starvation in Valheim. You just need to not eat while you're playing Valheim.
I mean, sure, if you die in the real world, you die in the game, but, you know, that's an
that's
entirely
right.
different situation. We're talking
I know,
like,
isn't that mind-blowing? If you die in the real world, you die in the game.
Yeah, I mean...
it's like a reverse horror movie around games. If I die in the game, I die in real life.
You may have sent me into an existential crisis.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Zach, I like this format. Just rip through the games and I'll say whether or not they sound interesting or they sound like dog shit. Let's
go. All right, sweet. Quickly, before I die in real life, I will talk about the games released in the last week. We had Doom 3 VR Edition come to PS4, sitting at a whopping 69 on Metacritic.
Nice, but also the worst Doom game, so...
There you go. Well, now you can put your eyeballs inside of your monitor. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. We had
now
Narita
you get to feel
Boy.
Like you're in the worst Doom game ever. Finally.
We had Narita Boy come to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch. The famous game where you get all the powers of a Narita. Everyone's been talking about it. Check it out.
I don't know what that is. Next game.
I'm googling Narita just to see what the fuck that
I know
means.
Naruto, and it's and now I'm just angry that it's not a Naruto game. Next.
Evil Genius 2 World Domination came to PC. Disco Elysium, The Final Cut came to PS5, PS4, PC.
The Final Cut.
Google Stadia.
It's like, it's like the, hey, we've added more content and this is like the director's cut of the game. And that's the reason that it got banned in Australia.
Mm. Oh, I thought it was because it was titled The Director's Cunt.
No, that would get it immediately approved. It's Australia we're talking.
I don't know. Our review board is very out of touch with the actual Australian people.
It's all the drug use that got it yeeted from Australia.
And it would be the final cunt anyway, Lockie. Get your joke
right.
Yeah,
there's only one left. And everyone has to fight. It's a battle royale and everyone has to... No, that's a dumb joke.
No, that's sexist. No one can just fight for the cunt. They have to earn it by being but through a consensual relationship. Okay.
Gotcha.
Next one.
Oh man. Outriders was released on everything. PS5, Series X, Google Stadia even. If you've got a screen, you can play Outriders on it. Oh, except for Nintendo Switch and your Android and mobile devices, there's no Outriders on it.
Are you
that,
ready for a four-hour deep dive on Outriders?
Oh, no. I'd rather watch the Snyder's Cut.
All right, let's do that.
That's a far better way of
I will give you a four-hour deep dive on a game that I've never played, if you like. I didn't even play the demo after hearing Zach talk about it before. I'm just like, fuck off. And then Sammy played it and had the same fucking opinion. So I'm like, well, yeah, okay.
Here's the thing. I think if you're a fan of looter shooters, if that is your kind of game, if, you know, if you actually enjoyed Anthem, you can't stop playing Destiny, you like The Division, it's a decent enough
Warframe.
Looter shooter game. Warframe, what have you. But that's the thing. We already have Warframe. We already have The Division. We already have all these games, which I'd argue do it, you know, most of them better, if not all of them. I think that's the only reason why I'm not going to bother checking it out. I've still got the rest of Borderlands 3 to replay again, plus the season pass as well too. I've got plenty of looter shooter.
I bought Borderlands 3 and played it for an hour and then never since. I'm 150 hours in Warframe, which is fucking free to play, but I'm like an hour in Borderlands 3.
Borderlands 3 wasn't terrible. It was decent.
Borderlands 3 bugged the fuck out of me almost immediately.
Yeah, no. Especially on release. It was, yeah.
It wasn't even on release. It was on the Steam release like a year and a half later. On PC. Okay.
That's where you went wrong. You needed to get the Epic Games version.
No. the Epic Games version, and I don't like the Epic Games store because it doesn't work. That's my main problem. I try to log in the Epic Games thing, and it just gives me an eternal spinner for logging in. I have spent money on that store.
I feel like you have so many issues that are linked to you that, like, I don't know, man. Did you piss off a gypsy or something? Like...
Look, Paul has this running thing where I have managed to find every bug in every video game that I ever touch. And maybe I have pissed off a gypsy. That's probably the most likely scenario here. But I don't know. I just have so many problems with every fucking game. It's so ridiculous. The Epic Games Store just gives me an endless spinner. I've gotten in there before. I've spent money. I have games I've paid for on the Epic Store. One of them is The Sinking City, which was a mistake.
Oh, yeah, that game sucked.
Yeah,
oh,
it God. Did. I learned the hard way that it sucked.
I know, but, like, we need to know better collectively as a human race by now that Lovecraft games are never good. They're always good in theory and in the idea, but they never are actually fun to play.
I posit that there is one good one.
Which one?
Darkest Dungeon.
That's an interesting take. I wouldn't have said that it's straight up Lovecraft.
It's heavily Lovecraft inspired. And a couple of their expansions. One of their expansions is literally called The Color of Madness, which is entirely based off The Color Out of Space.
And you know what else has been described as The Color of Madness? This podcast.
I'm sorry, Zach. I am so sorry.
Insanity.
No, that was the most interesting shit. Why would we stop that?
No,
like, that's the good
no
stuff.
Apology necessary. That's... But because we are
no, rich, that's the gold. That's hours. The Xbox gold, if you will. Right there.
We are reaching the end of the episode. It has been absolutely
Zach's had enough. Fun. Zach's had enough of the tangents. Zach loves his structure. He's a boy that needs structure.
He also missed the most important game release this week. So, like, who fucking knows at this point?
What was the most important one?
Fantasian came out on Apple Arcade. That is a new JRPG by Mistwalker, which is headed by Hironobu Sakaguchi, also known as the guy who invented Final Fantasy. All of the backgrounds are dioramas, and when I say a diorama, it is literally an actual little model area, a little actual model that they built in the real world for the backgrounds of each map, and that came exclusively to Apple Arcade, which is, that's a mobile game, but...
Oh, that is so cute.
I subscribed to Apple Arcade today specifically so I can play this game because, A, fucking Final Fantasy creator, so, and generally his stuff, with the exception of Blue Dragon, he's done a decent job on everything he's touched. Blue Dragon was garbage, but the other stuff is great. And look at the aesthetic. Holy shit.
Holy shit.
Everything is
literally... Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. It looks incredible.
The backgrounds in the game are literally built physically in the real world as a diorama, and then they've just, like, taken photos and video of it, and then the characters they've, you know, animated and modeled into the game. That came out, like, yesterday. And I'm like, it's a shame it's an Apple Arcade exclusive, which means you have to have an iDevice to begin with, and then on top of that, you got to subscribe to Apple's garbage fire Apple Arcade thing, which I've recently got a new iPhone, so it's like, hey, you got a new device. Here, have 3 months of it for free. I'm like, okay, fuck yeah, Fantasian's out. Brilliant.
Have you had a chance to play it yet?
I've installed it today, so I haven't had a chance to touch it, but it's one that I've been interested in because it is turn-based ARPG with a really fucking cool aesthetic, so...
Oh, Lockie, do you have an iPhone?
I just got one through work, but I don't think I can play a game like this on it. Fuck. What's the point? Well, anyway, but yeah, this looks great. You know, it's funny that technology, it's been around for a very long time. I remember, you know, the whole Donkey Kong franchise was born through using photorealistic images as the background and just, you know, designing a game over it. And like, yeah, it's interesting to see. It got dropped for a very long time, but it looks like Square Enix is starting to look into that again, because it's probably way cheaper to do that than actually designing a game properly.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, that's designing a background. I don't know about cheaper to build physical dioramas for every scene, but, like, it's... I mean, the thing is, the backgrounds in these games, particularly if it's got, like, a static camera angle like the old Resident Evil or the older Final Fantasy and stuff, it's just a static JPEG, right? So all you need to do is build your diorama and take a photo, and that's all they've done. I will point out, I'm a code monkey for my day job. I actually build iOS apps for a living, so, like, I do have some knowledge on how these things work. So when I say, like, that's simple, that part of it is simple. The rest of it, as hard as building the rest of a game is, which is complex as fuck. But that part?
Yeah.
Switch out a static background image that you got someone to draw as opposed to a photo you've taken. Yeah. That's trivial. So why not do that aesthetic?
Yeah.
And because everyone's gone hardcore into... No, and it looks great.
I mean, the end result... Yeah.
Yeah, and because everyone's gone hardcore into 3D or designing their own stuff, it's just like, no, this stands out from the pack just because they've done something different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. By virtue, it feels like its own unique style. But also, like, it does look really nice and clean. Like, I'm just taking a look at the demo now, and I don't feel like... Yeah, I feel like it's a really nice-looking game. And also, it, probably graphically, it's not too strenuous because they don't have to... The game itself doesn't have to generate that background environment because, as you say, it's a static image. Or it's a bunch of static images taken from different angles.
Yeah,
that are showing.
Just loads of JPEGs. You're fine.
Yeah.
Anything can do that.
Yeah, and that's why you can play it on your phone. Like, that is a very intelligent way to sort of, you know, to sort of, like, yeah, design games for weaker platforms. So that's neat. All right, Zaki, next topic, please.
The next topic is... The end of the show!
Whoa!
The show is over. That's it. We're calling it for another week.
Whoa!
On News to Reviews. That's right. It is approaching 10
the
o'clock.
Last news item is that we're finishing. Wow.
And it's approaching 10 o'clock, and I don't know about you, Kelgar, but I'm down to go hunt some motherfucking monsters right now.
We can hunt some shit. I mean, I don't know how useful I'll be. It, like, if I look at standard drinks count... I've lost count. You might be carrying be right. me at this point.
I'm pretty useless at the best of times, so I'll be right there with you, man.
This is going to be a great night. We're good.
Hey, and this, you know what else is going to be really interesting? You attempting to do your plugs. Please tell us where
easy
you
as shit,
find
my dude.
All your stuff.
So Inconsolables, as I mentioned at the top of the show, unless Zach decided to scramble the order or everything, you can find us at InconsolablesAU on Twitter, or just Inconsolables on pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. Like, and I don't know about Google Podcasts because they're kind of garbage. They wouldn't let me submit in Australia yet because of reasons, but we're on Apple Podcasts, we're on Podchaser, we're on Spotify, we're on all those fun things. As for me, you'll find me most of the time less drunk than now on Twitter and Twitch at Kalgar, KALGAR. I will typically stream Monday evenings if I have the energy and effort in me because work takes it out of me. Tuesdays and Thursdays are always on, 7 p.m. starts. Tuesday's usually the co-op night, so that's Monster Hunter at the moment. Thursdays, I start every Thursday at 7 p.m. with a cocktail and teaching you how to make a cocktail because they are not nearly as complex as you think. And then we move on to playing video games, which at the moment is Warframe because I have become an addict and that is Paul's fault. Completely Paul's fault. I played it a few years ago, hated it. He's gone, I play Warframe again. I'm like, fine, I'll give it another go. I'm like, this is actually a good game. Fuck. Fuck.
Oh, damn.
But so if you want to see me as like a drunken robot ninja, Thursday night is the way to go. Mondays and Tuesdays are the sober streams. Expect a lot less rambling and a lot less dying horribly.
Bloody oath. And there's way less to expect in general from News to Reviews. We don't stream as of yet.
You should.
Oh, I will. I can't.
I'd love to, but the shit that I say that we edit out, we have to edit out because it would be damaging to mankind. I cannot do on Twitch.
I mean, your frame rate right now wouldn't work on Twitch either, so...
That's true. Also, my internet.
But if you want to check out everything we do, you can hit us up on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Twitter's the best place to keep track of everything we are doing. Our Twitter handle is @News2Reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. And if you want to tell us what you thought about of this drunk and rambly episode, you can send your feedback to news2reviewspodcast@gmail.com. And also, as Kalgar Andrew mentioned at the top of the episode, don't forget to go and leave a review on Podchaser so they will donate 25 cents to, Meals on Wheels?
Meals on Wheels, I believe. I will triple check that right this moment.
And go check out The Inconsolables because it's a fantastic podcast. And after you do, go leave them a review on Podchaser and we will all respond to you and that will donate another 25 cents. So get amongst it. Thank you so much for joining us, Andrew. It has been an absolute messy blast having a few drinks and talking about the things that we love. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And either of you are welcome on our show anytime. Probably not both at once because that was a disaster last time. No, amazing for content, disaster for like anyone trying to make sense of said content.
It was a beautiful disaster. It was
the most gorgeous car crash you have ever seen.
it was a hot mess of an episode.
And if either of you want me to make cocktails for you at any point, let me know. We'll sort them something out.
Dang it!
Oh, awesome!
Definitely hit you up on that 100%. And obviously, all of you guys are always welcome on this show. We love The Inconsolables over here. You guys are all a bunch of absolute legends.
We need to get Mrs. L on the show because she's the only one of us who hasn't appeared.
Well, guess what? She may or may not be booked to talk about Pokemon Snap at a later date.
Ooh, well, somebody hasn't told me anything about that, Mrs. L. You fucking what?
So get excited.
She's not going to know through this show, man. I don't think she listens to us.
Well, we're going to find out now, aren't we? That's for sure. Love it. Lockie, do you have any final words of wisdoms for our audience who have surely already turned off their phones and devices by
I'm
now?
I'm sorry.
Oh, goodness.
I've double checked, by the way. It is Meals on Wheels.
Okay, nice. Any words of wisdom, Lockie, or that's it? No?
Yep. All right. Well, all right, folks, you know the go. If you want to send some feedback to us, it doesn't matter if it's positive or negative, but you know, if it's negative, it still needs to be 5-star reviews or else I won't read it. So that's the deal. Take it or leave it.
If you want to give a 0-star review to News Reviews, send it to inconsolables@gmail.com. inconsolablespodcast@gmail.com. The first one doesn't exist. And there you go. And then I will personally berate you.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another.
Bye. Love you all.
I'm going to use my break to look at more of these double dong dragon pics.